Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Yankees lose. You got it for me, Christian? We got to get that on a hotkey. The Yankees lose.
So we could abuse it?
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. A Thursday edition, October the 9th, 2025. We are streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Got you for the next 2 hours today. One more team is down for the count. Toronto Blue Jays win game 4 last night, 5-2 in New York at Yankee Stadium against Cam Schlittler, who is the terrific rookie who had a great game in game 3 against Boston. Turns around and, you know what, had a good
he
outing.
Pitched well. Come
had
on.
Had a good outing.
Give the kid credit.
No doubt. Had a good outing against a murderer's row, essentially, of that lineup. Toronto, everybody can hit, and that's without Bo Bichette. They have been unbelievable hitting the baseball. But another day, another offseason ahead for the New York Yankees, who now look around and say, hey, our pitching's going to be good, but boy, do we have some bats to figure out. Because it was Aaron Judge who statistically put together a superb postseason, and he had a moment in game 3 against Toronto Blue Jays. But other than that, the Yankee offense was a whole lot of nothing. Giancarlo Stanton did not have a great postseason. Anthony Volpe, the shortstop of the New York Yankees, who everybody's been waiting to do something offensively, he outside of game 1 against Boston where he had that opening homer, he has completely stunk at the plate. Jazz Chisholm, a crucial error up 2-1. And that two error to turn 2 and it ended up turning into two runs, making it a 4-1 ball game. And he could have ended the inning. A terrible error at second base.
Right.
That extended the game. And outside of that is the island of misfit toys. That's what the Yankees were. The plan B options for Juan Soto ended up not doing really much at all. If they had Juan Soto last night, or if they had him throughout the series as somebody who was a consistent bat who would have given them something, now things wouldn't have been different because the Toronto scored 38 runs in 4 games.
I was about to say.
But it would have been a different look offensively. But now you look into the offseason and now you think, what now? What now?
I think you got to tip your cap to the Blue Jays.
That team is great.
You got to tip your cap to the Blue Jays. I didn't believe in them. I don't think a lot of people believed in them because of the lack of success. This is their first championship series since 16
yep.
when they played the Guardians.
Yep.
So, this is a team who's been chock full of talent for years, and they're finally breaking through. And we talk a lot on the show about tinkering rosters, retooling. The Blue Jays have been doing that for years now. Remember Donaldson.
And they were never afraid to blow it up.
Exactly. Remember, they got rid of Donaldson, who ultimately went to the New York Yankees after a couple of stops. But, they've been retooling consistently. And you got to give them credit. They pitched well. They're hitting the cover off the ball, to Collins' credit. And last night, bullpen night, 8 pitchers.
Yeah.
Eight pitchers.
That's the part where
8 pitchers, 2 runs for that.
That's where you got to yell at the Yankees because, there was a different pitcher every inning for Toronto. And you can't get anything together?
If I can, too. You mentioned the role players, essentially. Everyone outside of Aaron Judge not showing up for the Yankees. It was the same conversation when they went to the World Series last year, too. I mean, Stanton obviously was incredible. Juan Soto was incredible. But everyone's like, they got to fix that back half of the lineup. I feel like we're having the same exact conversation with the Yankees today.
I mean, it wasn't as egregious. It was literally just Judge. It was just Judge and everybody else.
Not arguing that. But what I'm saying is they had to pinch hit Volpe. And they put in the Martian, and lo and behold, that guy had a double in the ninth. It was, and then they couldn't, I believe they get him around? Judge got him around. And then with 2 outs, Bellinger struck out, and that was the game. You know, and the broadcast, I thought, did a good job last night.
I thought Smoltz was really good. Smoltz is a Yankee hater, but I actually thought he was quite good
yesterday. And Smoltz, he said in the ninth inning, this is why if you're the Yankees, you're hitting yourself in the thigh or, you know, you're smacking yourself in the forehead that you weren't able to take advantage of runners in scoring position early on in the game. Because in the ninth inning, you would have had a chance to tie the game. You would have had a chance to, 5-1 at that point. I don't think anybody thought the Yankees were coming back at 5-1.
They had bases loaded there in the seventh inning with Wells at the bat, at Austin Wells, their catcher, who's supposedly an offensive-minded catcher, and he puts together a wasteful at bat with bases loaded, two outs. In the first pitch, he flies out to left field. It was just situational hitting. You have one side where everybody can they knock the cover of the ball, but they're trying to get the ball into place. John Smoltz said this multiple times last night. They're not trying to get everything up. They're not trying to get everything out. They're just trying to get things in play. And that's sort of what the Brewers do. They have a little bit more power than the Brewers, but they get everything in play. They 1-9 is dangerous. Yet Nathan Lucas, who was in AAA for 9 years and then a couple stops here and there, and then this guy is killing the Yankees, hitting second in the lineup.
And another hitter that struggled, too, throughout his tenure in Toronto is George Springer. Springer's had an incredible year.
He's been superb. And he's a good player.
He's a cheater, but you're right.
He's a good postseason player.
Yeah, agreed. Cheater, but, you know, he turned it around this year, and that's just, right now, everything's going right for Toronto. Now, if I can, we mentioned Volpe and how bad he was for the Yankees. I mean, Grisham was worse. Grisham had a worse postseason. I think he probably in that lineup had the worst postseason out of anybody.
He was terrible. I mean, him and Volpe
unplayable.
Did absolutely nothing. The whole idea about the Yankees is you go and they score runs, they hit home runs, and they could get they get people running quickly. Everybody can score. They get 30 home runs here, 20 home runs there, 20 there, 58 there. It bounces around. Everybody's a good hitter. Well, the second the playoffs started, where is that? Do that. They weren't themselves. And honestly, to circle it all, you saw it yesterday post-game. I don't know if there is a franchise in sports that unifies the fans when they lose quite like the Yankees.
I got to say, I'm not, and I told Christian Cad, our household Yankee fan producer, I'm not the one to dance on the grave the day after. It's just not the kind of fan that I am. But, I was happy they lost last night.
Christian, do you have, like, let's get up the audio of Guerrero Jr., post game with
the Yankee lose. The Yankee lose. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Oh, hey, let's do it again. The Yankee lose. The Yankees lose. Let's go, baby.
Isn't it Big Poppy?
Those are division rivals.
I know.
One more.
And that was it.
Oh, my God. It's not funny.
It's funny.
A-Rod, Jeter, and Big Poppy.
Christian,
and
it's funny.
You got a Red Sox and a Blue Jay going, the Yankee Lou. I love that. That is awesome.
That's been running to the ground since 2018. And the Blue Jays are trying to be the Red Sox. They're not the Red Sox. They happen to be better than the Yankees this series. And they're trying to be the rival, but they won't be. It's okay. It's okay. You'll get there, guys, eventually.
The Yankee lose!
Christian, I'm not going to keep explaining myself, but that was funny. I'm not going to sit here and
Jeter's
dance on
sitting
the
there
that
all pissed off.
Yeah, Jeter,
we don't
upset.
Care. Jeter, we don't care.
Jeter was upset. A-Rod.
He was upset that they were celebrating in Yankee Stadium, too. That's the part that pissed off Jeter the most.
Well, what do you want him to do? They won on the road. They deserve it.
Pissing off.
Come on. They won on the road.
And they did it, and the Dodgers celebrated at Yankee Stadium, too. How about that? Wow.
It's all unoriginal.
That's got to piss them off.
I agree with Christian.
Unoriginal.
But it was funny. Like, they go to talk to Vlad about the game, and that's what he asked. That was funny.
The guy was 9 for 5. I mean, he was unbelievable at the plate. He was the best hitter in the series.
And yeah, you got to plunk him next year. You got to throw at him a couple times. That's what you got to do if you're a Yankee.
I think that is such Yankee fan. Yeah, that's so Yankee fan. That clip is worth it. If he gets clipped a couple, 2-3 times, fine. That clip is worth it.
Yeah, it is.
Because you had Cam Schlittler, who was going after Boston fan for 10 days. This is where this is hypocritical. Because he had the Yankee fan going after the Boston fan for allegedly being a bad to Cam Schlittler's relatives. And we did this. That was 5 days. That was 7 days ago. And now we're turning around thinking, oh, this is classless. The Blue Jay fan has no right hill to stand on, saying, the Yankee lose.
In their defense, it was the player. It wasn't even Blue Jay fan.
Right. And that was the player. But Cam Schlittler did the same thing. He was going after the Boston fan saying, enjoy Cancun.
He did.
And then he's going to be there a week later with his bags.
at the check-in counter.
It's different. Yankees, Red Sox, all rivalry.
Roman Anthony. What's up, Jaron Duran? How you guys doing? Like, that's what it's going to be.
Go ahead, Christian. Christian, go ahead. Huh?
Blue Jays have an inferiority complex, and they finally got their moment in the sun. And you know what? We'll save a reservation in Cancun for this time next week. How about that?
So you think Mariners or Tigers are going to beat them? I don't think.
Listen, I mean, the Mariners could beat them, but that's going to be a good series.
Hang on. The Tigers are still alive, mate.
Yeah.
Still alive.
I'm rooting for the Mariners.
I know you are.
Big game on Friday night with George Kirby on the mound, too.
That's our guy. That's a friend of the show.
Yes. That's George Kirby.
We got to get him on, by the way.
Yeah. We can figure that out. We can get Kirby on.
Work on that.
No problem.
Anti-American to root for the Blue Jays. Anti-American.
I'm kind of with Christian on that. The Canadian team is kind of anti-American to root for.
I think it's almost anti-American to root for the Yankees if you're outside of the tri-state.
All right. Hang on. Touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
Got it.
Touche.
There is not a...
Never broken out the touche for the airwaves.
Is there a franchise that even rivals what it's like when everybody sort of comes together to celebrate the demise of the Yankees?
I mentioned in our pre-show meeting the Cowboys because the Cowboys make the playoffs and don't win anything. I go back to that game against Green Bay when... Even myself, who can't stand Green Bay for that matter, even I was getting a chuckle. Like, that is just so Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys to lose to a, I know he wasn't a rookie quarterback, but it was his first year starting in Jordan Love.
There's a lot of parallels because they had the dynasty in the 90s, and then they just haven't been able to recapture it.
This is world football, not our American football, but my team, Manchester United, is Yankee-esque in that sense where no matter who, everyone hates United in that sense, but that's world football. I'm trying to think American sports. Like whenever the Patriots lose with Brady,
that was a celebration among celebrations. And the Chiefs have that a little bit.
Like,
but you know, the Chiefs have a little bit more of an appeal because of all the characters. When the Patriots lost, and they never did.
Yep.
But when the eventual time that they lost before the Super Bowl, or they got knocked off, you know, by whoever, whenever they made a run, you know, the Steelers.
Yeah.
That was when everybody banded together and said, thank you.
The Patriots were so hated that people rooted for the New York team to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl twice.
The New York team beating them two different times was viewed as the thank you. Thank you.
It was.
That is the bizarre part.
Yeah.
It is the thank you for doing it.
The Tyree catch the first time around.
No team inspired more unification by a hatred.
I mean, it was Return of the Jedi party on Endor with the Ewoks kind of celebration.
Something like that. 100% right.
Really was. The evil empire is finally dead. We're on Endor partying with the Ewoks. It's the way it goes.
And the way she goes. Patriots are a little different because the Patriots won every single year. The Yankees do not. But it was along the lines of there are certain teams that they unify the fan. Who don't root for them and they can't stand the team. Whenever the Yankees lose, they incite that unification because it really is them against everybody, just like it was the Patriots against everybody.
Now, Saban in Alabama was like that for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Saban in Alabama on the college football
When Alabama lost week one, people, thank you. Thank you. That's what it looked like.
Cue the John Lucas music, bro.
It was the fall. It was the fall from grace.
Yes.
Ohio State losing. Everybody, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
No.
Ohio State losing would have that effect.
No.
On non-college football fans.
Kyle.
It does.
I don't think
No. Everyone hates Ohio State. I know that. And it
Alabama's like the South and Ohio State's the North. Everybody in the South hates Ohio State.
No, I think there's more of a negative connotation with Michigan.
No, I wish
even
there
though
was,
Michigan's
not.
Not better.
I disagree with that. I don't know about that.
Cheating stuff adds another level, and the Harbaugh stuff adds another level.
I think that's just Ohio State fan like me, no?
I don't think Michigan is good. You have to be great. I don't think Michigan is
good enough consistently
to make it. Like they're a middling team right now. They've had two great years in what, the past eight?
Good point.
That's where I would say like—
Preach, brother. Preach the good gospel.
Because there's going to be a Buckeye lose. Like, there's going to be one of those whenever Ohio State gets
knocked off
to the Hoosiers. And that's going to be America's team.
We don't play Indiana.
Do you not play the Indiana this year?
We're at Illinois, Penn State, Michigan.
Oh, okay. Because you had Indiana last year. Okay.
Yeah.
Duke basketball.
Good example. That's a thank you moment. Whenever they lose.
I like Krzyzewski. I'm in the minority on that. I didn't dislike Duke. I hate North Carolina.
Because it's funny because a lot of people make fun of Duke fans for being Yankee fans. And a lot of people make fun of Yankee fans for being Duke fans.
So, Kyle, my hate team is North Carolina. Can't stand North Carolina Hoos.
North Carolina has a little bit of that, but Duke is the, we're Duke and you're
and
not.
Then I'm the,
that's what Notre Dame losing. And I, that to me is a big.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time.
Thank you. Because everybody 100%. Hates Notre Dame outside of Notre Dame.
Correct.
If you are attached to Notre Dame, then even you know, your neighbor went to Notre Dame, so therefore I'm a fan. If you're not that person, everybody thinks, get this team out of my face. Nobody likes when Notre Dame wins.
I think I've told you this for you guys. I'm a fair weather Kentucky Hoop fan. It's like the one team that I don't have affiliation with that I really love.
That used to be another. That and used that to was, be it. The Calipari like were, teams yeah, used to be
definitely.
Like that.
The year they lost to Wisconsin did my head in. They should have went undefeated that year. It's the best team ever. And they lost to a bunch of farm boys nope. up north.
Great team.
Yeah, and Bo Ryan pulled a Bo Ryan
Koenig,
in the national championship.
Koenig, I that was
Bo the, Ryan pulled
first
a
all,
Bo Ryan.
Justice
in the
Winslow touched the ball in overtime
Stop
and it,
it
killed the game.
Stop it.
Nonetheless, that was 2015.
Stop it.
I think we covered it all. I think those were all the teams that people dislike.
If you're gonna put it into a little bit of a hierarchy of the college and the professional sports, Duke, Notre Dame, the Patriots of old, the Yankees. I don't even know if the Dodgers are in there.
Nah, they're starting to get there.
Starting to get there.
I'll tell you what, they keep winning, they're going to get there.
I don't think they're there, and I don't think there's a basketball team that's
I think
there.
It's the Celtics. I hate them.
I don't. I hate them. Maybe.
You can make a case for the Lakers in there, too.
Yeah.
It's that Yankees-Cowboys.
I would make an argument. I would make an argument it's LeBron. LeBron is a player.
That
I would make the argument it's the player.
That might
when
be
LeBron
it.
Loses, everybody's like, it used to be the Warriors. It used to be the Warriors. When you But now that's not a thing anymore. It's LeBron.
So
people seeing LeBron lose, you either love it or you absolutely hate
it. This is going to be a cold take for a lot of people, but not for me. I feel like people wanted to see LeBron lose more than the Warriors, even when the whole rivalry with Cleveland and people were rooting for LeBron to lose more
but
than
that's
the Warriors
why it made sense because it split the NBA fan though.
It did
because it was either if you'd hated LeBron then you liked the Warriors. Yeah, and if you hated the Warriors then you liked LeBron.
That's back when NBA was peak and not the dog water that it is now.
The whole world was rooting for the Cavaliers in the 2016 finals.
Were they?
True.
Yeah, over the Warriors.
It was when Durant left that the people who are the Warrior, hey, homegrown fan, you sort of lost that because it had that effect of Miami Heat versus everybody when the big three were there. It had that villain effect because it was so petty and almost dirty that Kevin
Ruined
Durant
the lead.
Left.
Ruined the lead.
3-1 lead in the Western Conference Final. You blow it to the Warriors and then you leave to go there. That villainized them to every NBA fan and it made it unfair because people thought the product got hurt. Because the team was too good.
And the NBA hasn't recovered since. I stand by this.
All right.
Quickly, you got to let me finish this take. Okay. David Stern would have never let. David Stern didn't let Chris Paul go to the LA Lakers.
That was
He would have never
it was
let
a, that was
Kevin
a trade
Durant.
Veto. That was a trade veto.
He would have, he would have stepped in and he would have never let it happen. He would have never
veto.
Let it happen. Stern would have never let him join a 13-loss teammate. You know that.
It was. Chris Paul was a trade veto because the Hornets were a NBA-owned franchise at that point. That's neither here nor there. LeBron is the one from basketball, in my opinion. You either root against LeBron. I don't think the Warriors have that anymore. You root against LeBron. You root against the Yankees. You root against Duke basketball. You root against Notre Dame football and Alabama football. Maybe not Alabama anymore because they've sort of bled. They sort of bled. But those are your team, and then the Patriots of old. That's the Chiefs of now, Patriots of old. Everybody loves to see the Chiefs lose now, but the Patriots of old, I've never seen a more big unification than when everybody was collectively so sick of one team that every time they lost in the regular season, every fan outside the Patriots in the NFL would collectively rip on them the entire way.
You've seen six, right? You've seen Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
When they're partying on Endor with the Ewoks.
The second time we circled this.
But it's literally what it was because the Patriots were the evil empire. Yeah. They were. It was terrible.
And they couldn't wait to move on. Like, that was, there was nothing like it. 2000, and even the regular season, whenever they lose in the regular season, it would be a big moment for whatever team it was, similar to what the Chiefs do nowadays.
I'm trying to think.
The Yankees have that effect.
Didn't Brady lose to Denver 1 year in the playoffs?
He did. Brock Osweiler.
That's it.
That
oh, my
Brock
God.
Osweiler
that was,
game.
And I can't stand Denver, but did we celebrate that up north. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was
we
a weird
celebrated
that was
a,
that
up
was
north.
The all-time great defense. That's when they
Correct.
Had like five all-pros. That was
Correct.
Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib.
Colin, that was like the one you couldn't explain, I feel like. Yeah. Like losing to Brock Osweiler, what?
Yeah, that was the Panther year. That was the Von Miller game. That was that year, I believe they beat.
Wait,
the
no, then it wasn't Brock. It'd be Peyton. Peyton won the.
You're right, but I think he got hurt in the game.
That's it. Yeah, someone came in. You're right.
It was Brock.
So yeah,
wasn't it, or was it Simeon? I can't remember. We'd have to go back and check. But I mean, that was when people would celebrate. I'll never forget it. People would celebrate. Did the Titans beat the Patriots one year? Didn't they beat them in the divisional round? That was 2019, maybe. Yes.
That's Brady's last pass to the Patriot was a pick six.
That was it. And
it was Vrabel against Belichick.
It was the year after that Ram series.
Yeah.
That was one of Derrick Henry's come out years.
That was when the Titans were 14-2 or 13-3, and they knocked off the Patriots. That was when the whole world was a Titan fan. Oh my God, did they do it? They split up the bad
boys. Chiefs, and who beat them? The Chiefs beat them? The Chiefs beat the Tennessee Titans in 19?
Yes.
And then the Chiefs won the Super
Bowl.
That
was the Super Bowl against San Francisco. That was the Super Bowl against Garoppolo.
Yep, and the Chiefs won.
Yeah.
That was Mahomes' first Super Bowl.
A glimmer of Astros universal hate.
Oh, true. Yeah. I mean, they're cheaters.
Good point.
They're cheaters.
Good point.
But that's going to wane, and that's, I think in 10 years,
that's about
it's
the
gone.
Players. That's about the players. Yeah. They've. It's not about the franchise. It's about the players.
Oh, it's the franchise. I'll forever hate that team.
It's about the franchise.
It's just
once
dirty.
Once you don't have more Altuve, Correa.
I see that logo.
They're all in their mid-30s.
Dirty cheaters.
Speaking of someone in their mid-30s, Aaron Judge, 34 years old this offseason. Wasting years of the prime.
How many more years can he do it?
I agree with Christian.
How many more years can he do it?
It stinks.
Now, let me ask you this before we get to break. Do you blow it up? You change things?
Who are you going to get?
I think they need to change the entire infield. That's my personal opinion.
It takes an organizational shift and emphasis on defense. Like, if you look at the last three games where the Yankees were eliminated, there was a critical error in each and every one of them.
It happens every single year with the Boone team. It happens every single year. They get bailed out by home runs because of lack of defensive prowess.
And in the entire regular season, the Yankees were borderline little league when it came to just base running. It didn't rear its ugly head that much in this playoff run.
Because they didn't get base runners.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this, though.
Then again, they never actually, they didn't make mistakes, but they never made plays in the base pads.
No.
Let me ask you guys this, and you guys might disagree with me, and that's fine. Who's the Yankees' second best player in the lineup?
Who played in the postseason or just generally? Their second best player in the lineup was this year, I would probably say, is Bellinger. But in a postseason spot, if he's playing great, Stanton is their second most dangerous player.
Yeah, I would agree. That's who I would want.
Bellinger needs to come back. Bellinger will probably come back.
The issue
he's
I
a
have,
good fielder, too. He's versatile.
The issue I have. You look at the Blue Jays, how deep that lineup is. I even go to the Mariners with J-Rod and the big dumper. Now, the big dumper
Crawford,
is recency
And they're all playing well,
too. And then, do I have to talk about the Dodgers and that lineup? Okay. The Phillies, Schwarbaum, Bryce Harper. Guys, there's none.
No, here's
outside,
the thing.
My issue outside of Judge, I wouldn't take any of those bumps. I wouldn't take any of those bumps.
888-760-3776.
That's not a Yankee line. Like, the Yankee lineup I grew up with was Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter.
Matsui.
Yeah. Even Gary Sheffield. Years they didn't win. They had guys who were hitting 40 home runs. The two guys who were hitting 35, 40 home runs. Yeah. Where is that?
Hold on.
It doesn't exist anymore.
They led the league in home runs.
A-Rod, Jeter, Bernie.
I understand.
That's not a Yankee lineup, mate.
I understand what you're saying.
And I'm not even a Yankee fan.
They had guys who performed in the regular season. They just didn't perform in the postseason. Stanton is when he wants to be, when he's healthy the whole year, he's going to hit 35 homers. Grisham hit 35 homers. Bellinger hit 30 homers.
Grisham and Bellinger, these aren't all-time greats that we're used to. The all-time greats right now are on the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the new Yankees in that sense.
You're not wrong. That is true. Now, the whole thing is with the Yankees, they also missed out on Gerrit Cole the entire year.
Agreed.
That changes things.
I'm strictly talking about the lineup. They lost that game because they couldn't hit. And we get the error. I agree with you. That's Little League. But two runs at home for the Yankees?
That's why I think I'm fine with them bringing back the outfield. They need to change the entire infield.
I thought that it took several steps forward in terms of manufacturing runs without the home run ball in the wild card series with the Red Sox. They didn't have the home run ball against the Red Sox at all, and they still came back from a 1-0 series deficit.
It's just the same thing that killed the Yankees. It killed them yesterday when they do not score. They don't do that consistently. What you're saying? When they don't hit home runs, They do not win games. But that has been their identity, and that is not what they brought. That is not what the Blue Jays do, and that is not what the Brewers do, and that is why they are succeeding, is because they can score runs with 1-9 and contact hitting. It works.
Who was the color commentator last night?
Smoltz.
It was Smoltz, and he was pointing out, why isn't Judge on his way to second? He has been so successful when running the bases, when stealing bases. And when he was on first base, he eventually did steal. When Stanton got walked, it didn't matter.
Right.
But that change of thinking and being afraid and not being advantageous and leaping for opportunity, it just isn't there in the playoffs of the Yankees. And
they don't trust any of their bats, and they don't want to lose a guy on the bases. It's a bizarre. It was Judge versus the world. And I can't, it's crazy to say that because we were talking about 3 days ago how he hasn't been stepping up to the plate in terms of high leverage situations.
Not signing. And remember the conversations we had when they didn't get Soto. Oh, this is going to be able to give them money to do stuff in the lineup outside of it.
They gave it an honest rip. They gave it an honest rip. Let's see. The same thing happened last year where they had Judge, Soto, and
The Yankees were built on world-class players, dating back to the Yankee Clipper and the greats like the Babe
Ruth. I get that. And they do have an all-time great right now. That's the problem.
They have one. They have one world-class player. All the other guys are just guys. It's not good enough for Yankee standards. Listen to me sounding like a Yankee fan.
Yeah, but you can win World Series without having multiple Hall of Famers in one lineup. You can have a World Series without having any Hall of Famers in your lineup. Like, that's what we saw the Nationals pull that off. You just get hot at the right time.
But they had a young Juan Soto. They had, I believe, Trey Turner on that team. They had Max Scherzer.
Rendon was great.
Rendon was unreal. Like, these aren't even the best in the league players. So, like, obviously, year in and year out, you're not going to get the Hall of Fame players on the team that are going to win the whole thing. But, like, that year, Rendon was unreal, Turner was unreal, and Soto was unreal.
But there's something to be said.
There's probably one Hall of Famer with those guys that I mentioned.
The plan B, that was their plan B, was get Bellinger, get Goldschmidt. You know, Jazz stays. Bellinger's a good player. That's not true. Bellinger's a good player.
5 years ago, when he won the MVP, Bellinger's he was a great player.
Bellinger's a good player. And he was good for them. He just didn't do anything in the postseason. Neither did Volpe, who they expected to take a run out of. I mean, they didn't play Dominguez. I mean, they couldn't hit. They have guys. That's why they need to upend the infield. You can't change everything and just bring in a bunch of Hall of Famers. It's not going to happen.
Jazz Chisholm's going to get evicted, dude.
He's under contract next year. I agree. He's a person that...
He gives the visuals that stick with you as a Yankees fan.
The yawn in game three, and then yesterday the error, and then turning his back on the media after getting benched in game one against Boston.
He always complains at the umpire.
But the thing is, he's so polarizing. He had to go ahead homer in game three 2 days ago, and it was an awesome play to go up 7-6.
I don't win that game without that homer. I'll tell myself that.
That was an awesome play. Awesome.
Because he had a cool bat flip and that crowd's nuts.
Please, I'm not listening to that.
I'm neither. Go ahead. Quickly, I'm still on the Goldschmidt and Bellinger thing. Those guys were MVPs 4 or 5 years ago. The Yankees are on the former MVP. They need to get on. Where's the up-and-coming guy? Where's the guy from the farm system? Where's the guy that you go out? You're supposed to bring up a good point. Quickly, you're supposed to re-sign Juan Soto. Those guys don't leave New York.
How about this? I wrote about this. I went into this today. Since the debut of Robinson Cano, the homegrown Yankee hitters to be named to an All-Star, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner, Gleyber Torres, who was acquired technically, but he was brought up, and Torres, who's now on a different team.
Playing well.
That's it. Since Cano.
So you don't the farm
they,
system's
they
dry.
They haven't been developing
farm,
players.
Farm system's That's dry, it. And then you can't retain players like Juan Soto. That's the problem.
I think it takes the Yankees' streak of being above 500 the entirety of this millennium, and the last time they were below 500 was in the early 90s. It's kind of an accomplishment, yeah, but it's holding them back from an entirety rebuild. You saw the Yankees soft rebuild and sell at the deadline in 2016 where they gave Chapman to the Cubs. Cubs won the World Series to get Chapman back. Like, okay, that was cool. And that got them a lot of different tools, like Gleyber Torres. They need to have an embarrassing season and really hit rock bottom in order to make massive changes.
I think what you're alluding to is they need to have a terrible season to eventually move on from general manager and manager.
Yeah.
And they won't do that. Cashman and Boone are probably coming back. Cashman inherited that team. He's been there for what, 25 years, 26 years? He inherited an all-time great team that George Steinbrenner built. And Hal Steinbrenner has not done a great job in upending this. I completely agree with you. Their big changes with the Yankees, yes, they have players who did not show up in big moments, but nothing will change, in my opinion, until they get a new general manager and a new manager.
And the problem is, it's hard to sell someone to blow things up when you were in the World Series last year and you have an all-time great.
They don't need
to,
yeah.
And you got to sell that to your all-time great.
The thing is, you don't even need to change. You need to get multiple new players. You don't need to change everything. Because the thing is, you have your namesake. You have great pitching. You're going to have great starting pitching next year with Cole coming back. And you have Aaron Judge. So you have that and then a handful of other players. Like Bellinger is a good player. You're going to bring back Bellinger. Chisholm's probably going to be there. You have other guys. You need to get an everyday shortstop. You need to get an everyday third baseman. And then you need to figure out where you're going to deploy Chisholm. You need to get a better catcher. And then you could sort of figure out where you are. That's what they need. But it's not the most
impossible
thing.
It can take one off season to do that.
Right. With their money? Yes. And the thing is, I'm curious about this. I'm not sure when winter meetings come around, we'll start to get a feel for this when free agency starts to rumble. I wonder how teams who like to spend are going to treat these off seasons because 2027, the new CBA comes up. And there's a lot of rumblings that this is going to be a big strike in favor of the salary cap. If you're probably going to get an enacted salary cap, let's hypothetically say that there are. You're probably going to grandfather in the previous contracts.
Can't take money out of guys' pockets.
No. That's Steve Cohen, Steinbrenner, that's the Dodgers. Teams like that, I could see them being big spenders this offseason and next before that CBA expires, just so they could grandfather it in if they see it coming.
The Yankees that we grew up with, Christian, I'm like 3 years older than your partner. The Yankees that we grew up with, it's the Dodgers now with the all-time greats and able to go out and get whoever the hell they want are building from their farm system as well. Like, the Dodgers have unbelievable process. I believe the Dodgers have one of the best farm systems in the entire MLB. They build their own players, and they're going out and acquiring the major names. Not to mention the pipeline they have with Japan right now, too, that is just absolutely insane. They are the new Yankees. The Yankees need to figure out how to get back to what their roots are. It's getting players from their farm system, having them be good, and getting the world-class players on the roster.
Yeah, the offseason before the last Yankees World Series, that was when they got CC Sabathia, who was the hottest starting pitching prospect in maybe that five-year window right there because of his performance with the Brewers at the trade deadline, A.J. Burnett, and Mark Teixeira. Like, that was three big hitters that came into the organization when you already had Jeter, A-Rod, Matsui, Cano. Like, it was
crazy. I mean, Kyle, it's the new Yankees are on the West Coast, mate. They're wearing Dodgers.
But maybe that you're dramatically underselling. Stanton had a bad postseason. You know what the problem is? Stanton has a bad postseason, and Judge has a great postseason. Judge has a bad postseason. Stanton has a great postseason. They've never lined it up.
Dare I say, you can't rely on a guy who's injured like that all the time.
He's played in the postseason. You can't say it like that because he's been able to play.
He's just
35 years old.
Okay, I agree with you there. But with someone who is injured all the time and there's not even a guarantee that he's going to be available in the postseason, I just find it crazy that that's one of the cornerstones that you're relying on in the postseason year in and year out.
And Stanton's a weird one because he's a good player, but what is he, 35, 36 now?
But like and I guess I keep comparing it to, but like on the flip side, Freeman, Ohtani, Betts.
In a retirement home too.
Fair enough. But he was unbelievable in the World Series run last year.
Yankees would have paid a lot of money. Won him a World Series.
That game one. He won him that game one last year in the World Series with that home run.
It's changed the entire series. I understand what you're saying. The Dodgers are the new Yankees because they're willing to outspend. But the Yankees also have the brand. The pinstripe is a heavier jersey. It's true. From there, they need to not be afraid to make major changes. They were forced to because of No Soto. And they had to satiate the fan by making moves elsewhere. They're going to have great pitching next year. That is a guarantee. They're going to have great pitchers. They need to figure out the lineup. Been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, listen to the Yankee game last night, hearing yet another strikeout for Anthony Volpe, and you accidentally rear-end the person in front of you. My friend Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are here to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They could get yours too, and they didn't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand Anajar and Levine because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is that one phone call to take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of Anajar and Levine. 888-760-3776. Outside of the Yankees, who is that one team that unifies you and your family whenever they lose? Is it the Patriots? Is it Notre Dame? Is it Duke basketball? That's me with the Yankees. That's how much I think it unifies the sports world when they lose. Let us know. 888-760-3776. Number to get into the program on Russo and Rizzo. Taking a timeout in ESPN 106.3. Surviving on the streets. Look at me.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This ESPN South Florida app is available, free to download on the App Store. Go get your South Florida beat every step of the way on the ESPN South Florida app. That's including Mike and I, Russo and Rizzo, which you can listen to in full and listen back on the app. If you miss any of Theoretically Speaking, listen to it on the app. If you miss any of our high school coverage, Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, we have it on the app. Florida Panther games, listen to the play-by-play. Listen to all the good play-by-play we have throughout the year, including Kaiser Seahawks football, including Inter-Miami English and Spanish. That's all available on the ESPN South Florida app. Download it today on the App Store. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, and Christian Katt. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. 888-760-3776. What franchise akin to the Yankees gives everybody in the sports world that little bit of joy when they see them lose in the postseason? 888-760-3776. We start with the mail, the Postal Service. Jack the Mailman joins us now on Russo and Rizzo. Jack, welcome in. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. What's on your mind?
I'm nothing major. Just want to let you know that I didn't shed a tear when the Yankees lost. But I'll tell you what. I'm a Red Sox fan. You beat us fair and square. And I'll tell you what. I was wishing for the best, you know, for you guys. But on the other hand, people get tired of the same teams over and over again in the World Series, in the Patriots. I can see why they dislike them so much, because they're there year after year. Now, I grew up with the Kaiser Shrimps era, right? And the Yankees used to beat the hell out of us all the time, all the time. But I never hated anybody. You know, some, you got to go with the flow. It's a game. Enjoy yourself. And I don't know. And that's about it for me.
All right, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack sees joy in seeing the Yankees, but he seems to have a little bit more modest approach to it.
Red Sox fan. A good, solid Red Sox fan right there. Appreciate
He's
it.
He's got a little bit of modesty. Too.
Didn't know they existed. A good, modest Red Sox fan. It's the first of their kind.
I mean, before 04, that's all they were, no?
888-760-3776. To New Jersey we go. Cologne, New Jersey joins the program now. Cologne, what's up? Welcome in.
Hey guys. Hey, I'm a Yankees real quick. You know, listen, Aaron Boone, I'm not his biggest fan, but the one thing I would say about him is he has never lost a series when he had home field advantage. And all his losses have been to teams when they did not have home field advantage. So, you know, I don't think he's the greatest manager, and I do think, you know, he gets a lot of searches from above. But the problem is, you know, is the way they construct this team, and I agree with you, Colin. You know they're gonna have some really good pitching next year. They have to fix this lineup. And the second best offensive player is Ben Rice. All right, so Wells got to go. You know, Volpe's got to go. You know, Stan's got to go, because they're gonna need a DH for a Judge eventually. You know, and Goldschmidt got to go.
Yep.
And the one team that I've always hated, that I always a root to lose, is Duke. It has to be Duke, and it had to be the Patriots, because you know what? I used to like the Patriots with Tom Brady in the beginning, but once they started cheating and Spygate and Playgate, that really, obviously, I hated that. So, two teams I always like root against.
Good call, Cologne. Appreciate you chiming in. He says Patriots and Duke.
So the Yankees need to get rid of everybody outside of the pitching staff, not named Ben Rice and Aaron Judge. Is that not everything I just told you guys? They need a whole new makeover in that lineup with good players.
Keep Bellinger. Keep Judge. I mean, you're probably Stanton's going to be around. Ben Rice, your everyday first baseman. Find a new shortstop. Find a new third baseman. Find another outfielder. I mean, that's three, four guys. Mike, you're saying get rid of everybody. You said Bellinger had a terrible year. Mike, he's the most versatile outfield defensively, and he had a great offensive year. He was terrible in the postseason, so it was a lot of guys. I agree with you.
They have a lot of guys who were MVPs 4 or 5 years ago. Goldschmidt and Belly.
I mean, Bellinger's 30 years old. Well, he's the same.
If you're going to rely on those guys in the playoffs, mate, you're going to be in trouble.
He's 31 years old. I mean,
are the Yankees better than some of the garbage that makes the playoffs? Yes.
I need to say, Goldschmidt was a utility player. I understand that. Bellinger.
The mighty have fallen with that team.
Hey, they haven't developed. Anthony Volpe stinks. They haven't done a good job with him. He was terrible. Good call by Cologne. Appreciate him chiming in. 888-760-3776. What franchise akin to the Yankees gives you that joy, that great joy, whenever they lose? We got to bounce around a little bit, and let's make our, with the NFL starting tonight with the Eagles and the Giants, week seven. We'll get into week six is it this week? I think it is week six.
Week six.
We'll get into it. Let's rank our top 10 power rankings, courtesy of Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Eagles still best team in the NFL. You know that they're not distracted.
Who's moving down?
I'm down on the Packers. This is going to be a major problem. We'll see.
It's time for the Russo and Rizzo NFL Power Rankings. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
All right. Well, listen. There's an elephant in the room here because we had a certain somebody's team on the show knocking on the door at number 11 last week, so it's time to get into
number 10.
Well, here's what we did last week. All right, our number 10, or I'll go 12 through 1. We had 12, we had the Steelers, we had 11 at the Jags, 10 was Colts, Seattle was 9, the Packers were 8, Chiefs 7, Chargers at 6, Tampa Bay at 5, the Rams at 4, the Lions at 3, the Bills at 2, Eagles at 1.
So who are we punishing? Are we punishing Green Bay? Are we punishing Seattle?
Green Bay didn't even play. I think Seattle's probably. And the thing is, Seattle played well, which is the unfortunate part. But I think Seattle's the team that's probably going to have to move out. Would you agree? And the Chargers.
Yeah. Chargers, I love to see it. But yeah, Chargers are out. I put the Jags in at number 10 firmly. How about that, Kyle? Did you expect to see the Jags on the Good Greek Moving and Storage top 10 power rankings this year?
Well, here's the thing. Hold on, let's determine this really quick. Are the Steelers moving in? They were on bye. They didn't play, so the only reason they would do it is just to fill spots. I think the Chargers. I would take the Chargers, and I would take Seattle over the Steelers.
I would too. No. I would even take the Rams.
And the Steelers beat them. I mean, Seattle beat them head to head.
I would even take the Rams over the Steelers at this point.
Yeah, the Rams are going to be in the top 10, but yes. So I'm just talking about the teams in the top 10. Are we still putting the Chargers and or Seattle in there? I think Seattle should be number 10.
Because so I think, you think you
Seattle
think
played
Seattle...
a great game against Tampa Bay. That was a great game.
It was, and I'm very high on Tampa Bay as well. I'll listen to Seattle.
Because if I were to do it, I would say Chargers are your team that falls out, unless you want to take out the Chiefs too. Chiefs are at 7 last week. You could take them out of the top 10.
I think you have to. With the loss to the Jags?
All right, if there's two teams moving out, then it's the Chiefs and the Chargers, in my opinion. I think you keep Seattle around. I do.
So Kansas City, I'm going to write this. Kansas City out and Seattle at 10?
Yeah.
Okay. So Seattle at...
Number 10.
I think the Chargers are your first team out, and the Chiefs are your second team out. So that's 12 and 11.
So two AFC West teams out in Kansas City and the Chargers.
And that means we have to add two teams. And I would say you do Jags and the Niners. Remember, they beat the Rams with Mac Jones as a backup on Thursday Night Football. We got to reward that.
Dare I say Niners? Or might be a top 5 team, but let's continue.
I think you put... All right, so let's do this. Yeah. Now we just established that. I think number 10, you're putting Seattle.
Number 10.
And the Niners also beat them head-to-head, and the Niners just have won more recently than Seattle. And so I think you put the Seahawks at number 10.
And then 9.
Number 9.
49ers. Say it.
I don't know, partner.
Why?
I kind of want to put Jacksonville 9.
You know, what happened 2 weeks ago? Jacksonville beat San Francisco at San Francisco. How can you logically, you see, you got nothing here. How can you logically make sense of the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars should be behind the Niners here?
That Bengal loss really bothers
me. Mike, you got nothing. There's nothing here.
That Bengal loss really bothers
me. Mike, it was 11 days ago that the Jacksonville Jaguars went into their building and beat them. I'm not listening to this. You should not even bother saying anything like this.
Number 8.
This is the Niners. 9 is the Niners. Jacksonville, put them at 8. No problem. No problem. No problem. Ugh. 8. You got nothing. You got nothing. Mike, there's nothing you could say that makes sense. They won head-to-head recently. Number 7.
All right.
Number 7.
Packers or Colts? I would say the Packers.
I think Packers. You got to reward the Colts. So 7 or the
number
Packers.
Number 7.
Now number 6.
Number 6.
Colts. Colts are number 6.
They don't
40-6 over Las Vegas. I don't care if they play anybody. You beat a team like that coming off a loss.
The Rams are still in the top 10, correct? We made that. I think the Rams should either be 7 or 6 personally, and I think Indianapolis.
Rams beat Colts head-to-head 10 days ago. That's why I think you put the Rams at 5.
It's a Johnny-come-lately league, but I understand.
Yeah, it was 10 days ago. It wasn't the Lions.
Two losses, though. And they lost to San Francisco, who lost to your Jags. So you lose it, you know, loses some power with that Jags over there.
You can't. The head-to-head is, you can't transitive property this whole the whole way.
I think Indianapolis belongs in the top 5, no? I think they should be 5 and the Rams should be 6. You got, and the way the Rams lost that game, with the handoff off the middle with 10 in the box. I mean, golly, Kyle. No?
I don't lie. I agree with you. They got a better record. That's the only. If they were the same record, I would probably fight back further.
Stop
fine with that. We could change number 6.
We could go to the Rams.
I don't like that. The Rams beat them head-to-head, but we'll have to deal with
it. Two losses, Kyle. Two losses. Johnny come lately.
Number 5.
And I think this is firmly Indianapolis. You can't put them any higher than this. Agreed?
Yes, I agree. Then you move into... So what we have left out of the four teams, we have Tampa, the Bills, Eagles, and Lions.
Perfect. And let's get number 4.
Number 4.
By the way, this is our top 10 power rankings in the NFL presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
This is tricky here because the Bills lost, the Eagles lost. I
was about to ask you, how bad do you want to punish Buffalo and Philadelphia?
Which one do you think is the worst loss? Both lost at home?
I think the Bills loss is worse than the Eagles, personally. New England. I think Denver, better team than New England.
They blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter.
All right. So Tampa Bay deserves...
As in the Eagles did.
So let me ask you this, because I need more stipulations here. Does Tampa Bay deserve to be higher than both of them? Because I don't know if I'm there yet. I think Tampa... You know how high I am on Tampa. I think Tampa comes in at 4 still. I still would probably go with a one-loss Bills or Eagles.
Yeah, you can't put Tampa. You can't. Yeah, and also Tampa lost to the Eagles.
Correct.
10 days ago.
Correct.
So we can't knock.
So I think it's Tampa Bay 4 still. As bad as those, I know it's not.
I think the rest of the way, I think you rank these three and who do you think the best three teams are because they each got one loss.
Number 3.
So for the record, number 4.
Number 4.
Tampa Bay, and now we are on
number 3
with the three teams left being the Buffalo Bills, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Lions. I think you put the Bills here. I do. I love Josh Allen. I think they're going to be representing the AFC this year, but I think you got to put the Bills at number 3. I think the Eagles should only.
I would probably
fall
agree
one
to
slot.
That. You know, yes, I would agree with this. And also, they had that bad game at home. They played home basically every single week, and they had that terrible. I mean, that Raven game doesn't mean as much anymore. And they had
Dolphins.
That. They had that escape against Miami on Thursday night.
You got to put them 3. You respect the record, but you got to put them 3, and then number 2.
Number 2.
Philadelphia.
I think firmly.
Firmly. And a team that has looked the best the last 4 weeks.
And how about this, folks?
Number 1.
It's got to be the Lions.
Not even a question.
It's got to be the Lions.
They haven't been challenged in 5 weeks. This is not even a challenge.
And don't spare me on the fourth quarter comeback by Jake Browning, okay? They lost the game by 2 scores.
They beat Baltimore at Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore, not a big-time win anymore, but still, they were able to score 40 points on them. That's our top 10. So, to put it in conclusion, first 2 out, Chiefs at 12. Chargers at 11.
And then at number 10?
Number 10.
Seattle Seahawks. Number 9?
Number 9.
San Francisco 49ers. Number 8?
Number 8.
Jacksonville Jaguars?
Number 7.
Green Bay Packers?
Number 6.
Los Angeles Rams?
Number 5.
Indianapolis Colts?
Number 4.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Number 3.
Buffalo Bills?
Number 2.
Philadelphia Eagles?
Number 1.
The Detroit Lions.
And that is our top 10 power rankings in the NFL presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Folks, go to GreekMoving.com. And listen, if you're moving soon, I don't want you to stress it because from packing and storage and to local and long distance moves, Spiro and his team over there at Good Greek got you covered from start to finish. They're trusted by families, businesses, and even sports teams like the Hurricanes and the Heat for over 2 decades. Make your next move simple, safe, and stress-free with the world's only total relocation company. And also, folks, these are the movers you can trust. Every single worker for Good Greek Moving and Storage that goes into your house and is helping you move has gone through the Spiro Superhero Movers Academy. These are the movers that you can trust. You got to run to the gas station. You got to run to Home Depot or Lowe's to go grab something you forgot for the move. You can trust them at home with the family, with the kids, the wife, or husband. That is GreekMoving.com. Visit GreekMoving.com. You'll thank my good friend Spiro later at GreekMoving.com.
Not a lot of top 10 teams play each other this week. You only had the 49ers going to Tampa Bay. They're not going to have Brock Purdy. It's going to be the Mac Jones show. Once again, outside of that, the only other top 10 game worth note is the Jacksonville Jaguars home against the Seattle Seahawks. Other than that, none of the top 10 teams play each other. So those are going to be your big opportunities for substantial jumps if Jacksonville wins that one.
You're drunk on Jacksonville, and I love it.
No, you're going to have to start saying top five.
You're drunk on the Jags, and I absolutely love it.
What are you laughing at, Christian? Something funny? I don't understand.
I'm not buying them, Kyle.
What are you not buying?
I'm not buying the Jags.
What are you not buying? Christian, Mike and I had a discussion the other day that I said Trevor Lawrence is the Josh Allen of Jameis Winston.
And it took me so...
Are you able to conceptualize that?
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes. You're thinking about one type of quarterback and the scale of which you put
the spectrum and how good he is on that type of quarterback.
It took me a little bit to figure that out.
I'm sure that was not infuriating for the fans at all.
No. You know what I did to explain to Mike? You know how it clicked? You know how it clicked? I told Mike that Aaron Gordon is the Michael Jordan of Larry Nance's, and it clicked like that.
I kept thinking he was trying to compare Lawrence and Josh Allen. I didn't know Josh Allen was the
scale. I'm comparing him to Jameis Winston.
The quality of player was Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're fun. That's going to be must watch.
Know. Listen, I
like the Jaguars.
Fun team. You're on it.
Yeah.
You're on it on Monday.
You know why I'm not on them. You know why I don't want to believe them.
I picked the two biggest underdogs the weekend.
Because you want them to lose because of the Browns, who, by the way, we'll get into this a little later. Jaguars fleece the Browns once again.
Well, Greg Newsom, good luck. He can't play slot. Don't blame him in the slot.
He's not going to play at the slot. Dave Jordan Lewis is a good player.
I'm not going to lie. Newsom has been...
I've heard he's had a good year.
He's been serviceable. He's had good years. He can't make an open field tackle.
Okay.
Do not ask him to make an open field tackle. But downfield, vertically, pretty darn good. Don't have him in the slot.
You very rarely have NFL teams go player for player, same exact position.
Yeah, and what drives me nuts is and it's something you told me to pump the brakes on and let the guy work in drafts for the future, but... That was the last of Andrew Berry's first-round picks to,
the general manager of the Browns?
Correct, to go and not get a second contract. No first-round picks prior to this year's draft are on a second contract.
You got a good draft class this year.
It's hope.
All right. Good trade by Jacksonville. They traded Tyson Campbell in a seventh-round pick for Greg Newsom. Greg Newsom and his seventh-rounder. So basically a swap.
That's all it is, so...
Tyson Campbell stinks.
He's someone said. We'll talk later on. I have a stat for you guys that my Browns buddy sent me about him. He's one of the worst corners in the league.
Good tease.
One of the worst corners in the league.
That's going to keep me in the car. I'm not going to go say to my wife and kids. I'm going to stay in the car and wait
Tyson
for the Browns
Campbell
stat.
Statistic.
One of the worst corners in the league. Pretty on par for a Dylan Gabriel-led Brown team.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katz. Second hour of Russo and Rizzo coming up after this on ESPN 106.3.